Our text this morning is our epistle reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, which we heard read moments ago. Sin boldly. You don't have to be a Lutheran very long before you find out that among his vast catalog of colorful sayings, Martin Luther had once offered this seemingly outrageous counsel to his younger colleague, Philip Melanchthon. And you don't have to be a Lutheran very long before you find someone who's using Luther's potent phrase as a marvelous license for all manner of what can only be labeled as wickedness. It's been used as a toast and a strike for freedom. Sin boldly, the revelers salute one another, and so they do. They sin, and they do it boldly. And some even have the theological temerity to charge into their sin in the name of Christian freedom and the liberty of the gospel. And so there are, I suppose, some bold sinners. But for most of us, bold sinning is not a chosen or a comfortable activity. The momentum of morality, social convention, and perhaps good theology foster in us a reluctance to embrace the sin boldly advice. Indeed, I suspect that for the great majority of us here this morning, sin is something we are rather inclined to avoid, or at least inclined to hide, to minimize, or to otherwise conceal. We aren't thrilled at the prospects of trotting our sin out into the open where it can be made available for the general inspection and evaluation of the voyeuristic or the idly curious. It's not just candidates for public office who are content to keep past records sealed in the past, or better yet, gone and forgotten altogether. No, few things generate more fear, more sweaty palms, more panic, than the thought of having private dalliances with evil exposed to public scrutiny. Few things cause more horror or anxiety than the possibility of having one's personal rap sheet of sins, especially those lurid and nasty but fortunately always concealed sins of the mind, all of those sins thrown open for public display. Ouch. Who wants that kind of reckoning? Bold sinning? No thanks. Not for me. I'll stick to my respectable Midwestern, salt-of-the-earth, stoically Germanic, Lutheran heritage of decent, respectable, upright living. Living that keeps personal and corporate shame and embarrassment at a comfortable arm's length. And I suspect that I'm not alone in my discomfort with the idea of being a bold sinner. Most of the Christians I know are not very good at being bold sinners. They're a lot better at doing the sin-concealing and sin-minimizing thing. They'd rather dodge sin than boldly own sin. Perhaps you've honed your own skills in the area of sin denial. When the accusation comes, whether from spouse or child or friend or from the conscience within, you will have none of it, and you simply reject the charge. It's not true. I didn't do that. Or maybe your specialty lies in the arena of explanation. No, you see, you don't understand. It's not a sin because I meant something else by it. Some people might call it rationalization, but you know better. It's not a rationalization. It's just an appropriate, more complete explanation of all of the facts, things other people probably can't understand or appreciate. And of course, there is the subtle variation of the explanation solution to those troubling pangs of conscience or those unwelcome accusations of others. It's the redefinition technique. Your thoughts or your behavior used to be defined as sin, but they aren't anymore. Yes, in endlessly creative ways, you have become a master at minimizing and diminishing the sin that tenaciously clings and uncomfortably embarrasses. But of course, that is, after all, precisely the real threat to every one of us. The real danger is not that your sin finds you out. The real danger is not that you be exposed for the corrupt and the damnable sinner that you are. The real disaster is not bringing shame to yourself or your family or your church. No, the real disaster is that you may actually succeed in hiding your own sin. Luther knew what he was talking about, and so did St. Paul. When God deals with us, it is never a matter of merit. It's always a matter of mercy. God has mercy only on sinners. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Indeed, there is but one qualification for receiving God's grace. The single qualification is that the recipient must be a sinner. No sin, no grace. Small wonder, then, that St. Paul was ready to come clean. When it came to sinners, Paul knew where he stood. He was at the front of the line, the foremost of all. Paul was well beyond the cover-up stage in dealing with his sin. He was blatant about it and used nasty, biting vocabulary to make his point. A persecutor, an assaulter. Paul had sin to be embarrassed about. He had sin to shame even a hardened criminal. Paul was going after Christian, good people. Paul needed the forgiveness that Jesus had. Luther needed the forgiveness that Jesus had. And that's the point of Luther's rather intemperate counsel to Philip. Hear it in context. If you are a preacher of grace, then preach a true and not a fictitious grace. If grace is true, you must bear a true and not a fictitious sin. God does not save people who are only fictitious sinners. Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly. Do you think that the purchase price paid for the redemption of our sins by so great a lamb is too small? Pray boldly. You too are a mighty sinner. Pray boldly. You too are a mighty sinner. Paul needed the forgiveness that Jesus had. Luther needed the forgiveness that Jesus had. And you need the forgiveness that Jesus has. God is a thorough practitioner. The law leaves every person with the same conclusion. It's me! I am the vilest, most corrupt, chief of sinners. I need desperately the forgiveness that Jesus has got. And I've got it. And you've got it. In Christ, God's got grace for sinners. Real grace for real sinners. Fictitious, phony sin. Sin sterilized and made over by explanation and redefinition. Sin covered by careful secrecy and denial. Sin like that has no grace. Concealed sin means concealed grace. And that's Luther's point. Sin boldly. No, don't go out and add salacious and daring new entries to your sin resume. Simply come clean about what's already there. Hear and apply God's law and confess. Agree with Him about who you are. A sinner. A real sinner. The real deal. You are what you are. And it's not good. Don't hide it. Confess it. You're a sinner. Foremost of sinners. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save you. And He has, and He does, and He will. Real grace for real sinners, real grace for you. Amen.